that wonderful? Amen. Got your Bibles? Turn with me to Genesis chapter number 46. Now, here's what I want to ask you to do for me tonight. I want you to keep your Bibles open. Colt and I just go to one passage, do an exposition of that passage. But when I'm preaching a message like I am tonight and the series that I am doing now, sometimes you've got to go to several chapters when you do a character study in the Bible. Amen? So I've been preaching on the double calls in the Scripture. We started out with the call of salvation, Saul, Saul. How many glad one day you got called to get saved? By the way, you're not going to get saved till you get called. Amen. And you said, how do I know I've been saved? Because you've been called. Amen. I'm glad I know I got called. I got under old-timey conviction. And I think that's the way God still works. You know, you think you well. Preacher, I can go talk people into being saved. Ain't nobody going to get talked into being saved until they fall under the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Boy, that's good preaching. Then we talked about the call of sorrows. There ain't nothing more sorrowful than a church member going to hell. Many will say, Lord, Lord, in that day haven't I prophesied in thy name. It was so sorrowful when he said, oh, Jerusalem, that nation that God loves so much. He said, you won't even repent. And it was awful sorrow when our Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'll tell you why, because he loved me and you and he took our sin. The last time we preached about Abraham and the call of sacrifice on Mount Moriah. But tonight I want you to go to the 46th chapter. And I do want you to follow me tonight. I've got a lot of scripture. And I want you to follow me because I'm going somewhere tonight. And I think you'll like it. And I think you'll get some help from it tonight. If you're in Genesis 46, say amen. Go to the first four verses. And Israel, by the way, that's Jacob. His name has now been changed. Amen. Took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father, Isaac. And God spake unto Israel, or Jacob, in visions of the night and said, here's the double call, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God. Woo! The God of thy father, fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will. I will there make thee a great nation. And I'll go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. He done thought Joseph was dead. Somebody help me preach. Now let's do this study tonight. And I want to label this message, Chad, a call to surrender. If you're ever going to be right with God and the right kind of Christian, somebody help me. You're going to have to surrender to the will of God. Amen. You're going to have, hey, God's got to break you down to get you where he wants you. See, by the way, we all strong-willed. You said, not me. Oh, you just lied. We all strong-willed. Let me tell you a little bit. Jacob was a twin brother to Esau. His name, let me give you his name. It really speaks to his character. His name means to follow behind, to supplant, to assail, to circumvent, to overreach. When Rebecca was pregnant with them two boys, they was fighting in the mother's womb. Amen. And when they were bored, by the way, there's another name for him, heel catcher. You said, what do you mean? He was trying to get out before his brother got out. And he grabbed Esau by the heel. Can you imagine two boys in the womb getting ready to be born, and one of them reached up on the heel and tried to beat the other one out? That's the kind of nature he was. He's strong-willed. He tried to circumvent. His whole life was trying to circumvent the will of God. And one day that God had to break him, and he called him twice and said, Jacob, Jacob, it's now time for you to get a blessing. Amen. That's good preaching already. Now, here's what I want to do. I want you to follow me. Will you go back to Genesis 25? Let's take the story. And I'll try not to hold you long. Well, I say that all the time, but I'll try. And go to Genesis 25, and let's start the story. And verses 21 through 26. And I want to talk, first of all, the people that tested Jacob's life. I want you to know something. Whether you and I like it or not, there's going to be people that we get around that's going to test our Christian life. Amen. And God uses those people to get us to a place one day of surrender. And I tell you, he had two particular people I want to talk about. First of all, he had his twin brother. Are you at Genesis 25? Say amen. Amen. I'll read the story. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled, I told you, together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? She was wondering what all the carrying on was about. And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manners of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now, she ought to believe God right there, hadn't she? How many of y'all, sometimes we get God's clear word and we still don't believe him? God makes it clear in his word, shows us, Brother Ray, and we still don't believe him. I'll prove that in a minute. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red. Could you imagine him? All over like a hairy garment. He was all red and hairy. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took a hold of on Esau's heel, and his name was Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare him. Now, I'm going to give you number one here. Esau is a picture of the natural man. I want all y'all to know, Esau did not go to heaven. What's quiet in here? You said, hey, can you prove that? Oh, yes, I can prove it. I wouldn't say it if I couldn't prove it. Let me show you. Some of you are looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. So I guess I'm going to have to show Chad. The Bible said over in Hebrews chapter number 15, look at this. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 15, looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many are defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane persons as Esau, who for one morsel of meat, some beans, sold his birthright. For you know how that after when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he had found no place for repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. By the way, I got a message I preached from that text, when it's too late to cry. He was an unsaved man. By the way, sometimes God uses unsaved people in our life to help us get where we ought to be with God. You say, amen. I remember when I was working for the Department of Highways. And I'll tell you this story. It's kind of funny, but it's true. It's gospel true, okay? Some preachers embellish stories. This is not embellished. I was working in Elkview for the Department of Highways just before I came to work for this church. And I want to be honest with you. In the wintertime, we didn't do much work, and we done more paperwork, and we sat in our trailer. And by the way, there's four or five saved boys and about 10 unsaved boys. And I'll be honest with you. Now, I saved and had three or four brothers and the rest of them is lost as a goose. And here's what, when you go in that trailer, if you take a left, you go to Sodom and Gomorrah. If you take a right, you went into Canaan land. Because over in Sodom and Gomorrah, they had their wicked books, they had their pornography, they had naked pictures on the wall, they had it all. And there was one particular boy, he was an agnostic, a mean sucker. And he had it out for me. He knew I was a young Christian. He knew I was a young preacher. And he had it out for me. By the way, friend, there's some lost people who'll get it out for you. And you're going to work with some people that ain't very kind. I tell you what I did, Brother Kim, every once in a while, not all the time. I would walk up, go in through the door. Colton, I'd go in through the door. And I'd say, how y'all doing in there today? And I said, I think I'm going to pray for you. And I laid down and let a prayer out. And I'm going to tell you what they done. Allison, especially that one guy, he started laughing and mocking at me while I was praying. I said, God bless you anyway. Walked over into Canaan's land and read my Bible while they was watching their porn in there. But there was one particular day. I'll tell you what happened in my life. I want all y'all to know this. Your preacher's been through a lot. And I tell you, I believe God let me go through a lot so he would break me so I could be used to be your preacher. Amen. I mean, I was pastoring my second church, little bivocational church, built it from a small church up to about 100. But that church split. And I didn't even know it before I got there. When I got there, I was only there for 3 weeks and somebody burnt the place down. One day, I walked in to the trailer and the old big mouth said, where's your God now? I said, he's in the same place he was before the fire. Amen. And I said, it sounds like you need a little prayer. And I started praying. And I ain't never really prayed like I pray. I mean, heaven came down. I felt like it shook the place. And every time they mocked me, but this time, it was quiet in there. You said, what was happening? I'll tell you what. You might work with some dirty, rotten sinners, but you can be an influence on them if you'll let yourself be an influence on them. They need to hear from God. After everybody cleared out, here come that old agnostic. He was an agnostic out of the trailer. Into Canaan land. I said, you in an unfamiliar place here, buddy? He said, you know what? We've cussed you. We've abused you. We've made fun of you, but you still act like you care for us. I said, I not only care for you, but there's a God in heaven that cares for you. And here's what it done. I know you ain't gonna believe it, but I'm telling you the facts. He pulled out his checkbook and wrote a $1,000 check the Hurricane Baptist Church of Clio. He said, you know what? I don't believe in God, I don't think, but I know one, if there is a God, you're one of his servants. And I want to give you the first $1,000 to pay the place off. I want to tell you something, friend. All you've got to do is live right, even when lost people are around you. And it was about 3 days later. I got to tell you the rest of the story. I don't know if I'll get all the preaching in. I'm getting so happy right now. I'll tell you the rest of the story. I came in another day, and I started praying again. He's the only one in there. He said, won't you come in? I said, I ain't coming into Sodom and Gomorrah. I said, you come over here. He said, I want to ask a question, and if you can answer it, I'll get saved. He said, well, you know, how many's ever got a softball lobbed to you? He thought it was a deep question. He threw me a softball. He said, why did God bypass angels to save you? I said, that's easy. I said, because they were not made in his image. But we were. He said, you're kidding me. And that's why Jesus came. Then I started preaching. And I said, that's why Jesus came down here. Born of a woman, a virgin born, and came and died on the cross. And I said, Kenny, why don't you get saved? And buddy, blew my mind. He got on his knees and he prayed to God and got saved right there in Canaan land. You said, what are you saying, friend? I'm telling you, I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how wicked they are. I got a God that's greater than any sinner. I got a God that can help any problem. I got a God that's nothing too hard for him. Oh, I'm not done yet. I may not even get past this little scale because I'm starting to feel some preach. As a second person in his life that came and ended his life that God used to bring him to surrender. Now, I'll just tell you the story this time because if I read all these verses, we'll be here all night. But I want you to write it down, Genesis chapter 29. And verse 18. See, I tell you what happened. Esau got mad. Y'all all know the story, don't you? How that. By the way, why do we always have to circumvent the will of God? You know what God told him? He said, the elder serve the younger. But Rebekah had to nose in. Not only did he get the birthright because Esau thought he was starving to death one day, but he also got the blessing. But he didn't get the blessing, Brother Jeff, forthrightly. Mama cooked up a plan. She did. You said, what was her plan? Go out and kill a wild animal. Let's dress it up for Isaac. We'll take the hair and put it on your hands so when he touches your hands, he'll think you're Esau, and we'll put some back here on your neck. And Isaac was blind. He said, well, you feel like Esau, but you talk like Jacob. And he gave him the blessing. And Esau got madder than a hornet and run him out of town. And guess where he ended up? He ended up finding Rebekah's brother, Laban, his uncle. Hello. You said, what's Laban a picture of? A carnal Christian. I tell you what, it's easier for me to deal with unsaved sometimes than Christians. There's some Christians that bug me sometimes. Oh, I know they don't you, but they do me. I mean, I know some Christians that they'll leave church over nothing. Good preaching, Reverend. But here's what happened. Can I tell the story? I mean, can I end when I want to end? Because I'll be honest with you, I'm having so fun. Here's what happened. He went down there, whoo, and got all Google-eyed over a girl named Rachel. In my mind, Rachel was. She had built good. She was pretty. But see, I want you to know, Mr. Trickster and Mr. Subplanter and Mr. Circumventer. Am I all right, Chad? Too much information, wasn't it? Okay, I'm all right. But anyhow, she was pretty. And Laban said, well, you can have her, but the only way you can get her is work for her. And you got to work 7 years for her. But here's what he didn't know. His uncle was as conniving as he was. How could you? And the Bible said, you read it over in them verses. The Bible said, this is the Bible, not me. The Bible said that those 7 years, Chad, went fast like a few days. That's what the Bible said. You said, why did it go fast like that? Because he's in love. He worked the 7 years. He went up to Laban. How would y'all like doing this? He went up to Laban. He said, bring Rachel to me now, please. And old Laban, when it got time, he didn't bring Rachel. He brought Leah. She was tender-eyed, but she wasn't real pretty. Sweet as a button. Nice as she could be, but not real pretty. And could you imagine you expecting the love of your life, and here come a nightmare. Dear God. Could you imagine when she come into his tent and Miss Not So Good Looking comes in? That's what happened. You read it for yourself. Some of you looking at me said, that ain't true. Well, you read it, you'll find out it's true. And then guess what he done? Old Laban was a trickster like him. He said, okay, you want Rachel? 7 more years, buddy. 7 more years. He worked 7 more years. And Laban didn't want to because he was a good worker, Chad. He didn't want to give that woman up, but he gave her up, and then he chased him out of town. And that lit, well, glory. And by the way, you know where Jacob went when he got run out of town from Laban and a carnal Christian? By the way, it ain't real smart for you to run around with carnal Christians. You ought to be separated from sinners, but you also ought to be separated from a bunch of carnality. I'm just going to tell you, there's some Christians I don't hang around with. You say, why? Because I don't like to hear their smutty jokes. I don't want what. I don't like their character. I don't like how they lie and gossip and act like a devil. Well, it's quiet in here now, ain't it? But you said, where did he go? Well, I'm going to finish here, okay? So I didn't know I was going to go so long. Can I finish? He went back to a place called Bethel. Now you said, what is significant of Bethel? Let me finish tonight with this. I'll go on and finish the message next week. Let me show you. I'm going to point three, okay? Go with me to in Genesis chapter 28, the first time that old Jacob had an encounter with God, Ray. He had an encounter with God at Bethel. And Bethel, now you said, what happened to Bethel? Look at me. He was having a little dream. You want me to tell you what the dream was? There's a ladder that went from the earth to heaven, and angels is going up and down it. You said, what in the world was that ladder? That was Jacob's ladder. You know who that ladder is a picture of? That ladder is a picture of Jesus Christ. He is the way to heaven. He is the truth. He is the life. And right there at Bethel, right there at Bethel, he had a relationship with God, built an altar to God, and got right with God, got saved and got called of God, and got born again. But now, several years later, come on now. By the way, sometimes when you get out of fellowship with God, you know where you need to land, Brother Colton? You need to get back to Bethel. And he went back to Bethel for a fresh encounter with God, that he could meet God and get touched by Almighty. Somebody help me preach. I feel like my mule's getting loose. I want to tell you what. You hear me out tonight. You may be away from God tonight. You may be a backslider. You may be a trickster. You may be a circumventer. But I'm glad for a God that has second chances and third chances and fourth chances and does not throw away the clay. I'm glad you can go back to Bethel. You can go back to repent and get right with God and do business with God. Somebody help me. I'm going to cut a little of the story out. Okay, is that all right? He also met God another place, didn't he, Chad? And that was Penuel, or Penuel. And that was in Genesis 32. And that's when, by the way, I want to come off here so bad. I'm going to. I'm doing better, ain't I? I'm running. Somebody said, I can't wait till the preacher runs off this. I ain't running nowhere. Dave's back there holding his breath right now. Let me tell you what happened to Penuel. See, Chad, God's got a way of breaking us. And I'm sure not going to emulate what happened with you, because you'll kill me. But he had a wrestling match with God. And you know what he told God? He told God, I'm not letting you go.
Amen.
Until you bless me.
Thank God.
You know what some of you all need to do tonight? You need to come up to the pinnacle. You need to come up a pinnacle and let God break you, and you surrender to God, and you come up a pinnacle tonight and have a wrestling match with God. And by the way, you ain't going to win the match.
Amen. That's right. Come on, preacher.
And I tell you what happened. He got his hip thrown out of joint. I'm hurting right now over that preacher. I mean, oh, God, it hurts me to think about what happened. Got his hip thrown out in joint. And he had to get a staff for the rest of his life. And the rest of his life, by the way, he finally surrendered. The rest of his life, here's how he did. If I'm going to limp, let me limp on. Let me limp on for God. Let me limp on for God. And then God came up to him and said, Jacob, Jacob, it's time for you to go to Egypt. You thought your boy was dead, but he ain't dead. And it's time to go. And he got all scared. Yeah. You know what God told him? They put him up in a wagon because it wasn't real easy for a cripple to walk. I'm walking about 1,440 feet tomorrow, right? If you're good, I won't run. But I want to tell you, I couldn't walk all the way to Egypt. So he was put up into a wagon to show him his total inability to get the job done. But God said, don't worry, I'm going to be in the wagon with you. I'm not, don't you fear, I'm going down with you. And he surrendered his life to God.
Amen.
Let me ask you something. How many people in this room, come on now, and don't lie, You're just a little tad hard-headed.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
I ain't knowed you long, but I could tell it. Let me tell you something. I got a God can knock the heart out of her head. You know what? Can I tell you the best way to live for God? And Lois, I would like you for you to sing this song. It's just to throw up your hands and throw up the white flag and say, I surrender all. If you really want to find happiness and you really want to find hope, just come to God and say, ah, surrender all. I'm sure those folks in this room, you're a Christian, you're saved, but you got some Jacob in you. You're hard-headed, a little stubborn, strong-willed. Sometimes you try to run out in front of God. How many believe it's a bad thing to run out in front of God? But I got a God that can take care of you. I tell you what he done, Jeff. Took his hip out of socket. That way he'll never run out in front of God again. That was a reminder of God's being in control. You know what you need to do tonight? I wish I could do it. Come up here and just lay your face on this altar and say, I surrender all. I can't handle it. I'm trusting God tonight. Stand with me.
Yes, hallelujah.
Heads bowed. Stand with me. Heads bowed. Thank you, Lord. Eyes closed. How many here know for sure you're saved? Raise your hand if you know you're saved. How many know you're saved, but you got a stubborn streak in you, and you're hard-headed, and you need some prayer tonight, and you try to get ahead of God, and there have been times in your life you try to run in front of him, and you know that's what got you in trouble. I wonder how many, without the preacher having to beg you, would come around this altar. Chad, I want you to take the invitation and come around this altar and just pray and say, God, I want you to help me. God, I'm going to surrender to you tonight. There ain't no other way but God. You're in control. You're the boss. Won't you do that tonight? Chad, you come and finish the invitation.